I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Words taken from St. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, Mother Mary Bosco, sisters, seminarians, brothers, dear family, and friends. Today we are saddened and we grieve at the loss of our spiritual father, our founder, our shepherd, our pastor, our brother, our uncle, our spiritual director, and our friend. After I entered Immaculate Heart Seminary in 1996, I had the opportunity to assist Bishop Kelly at a number of funerals. And I recall how he would especially give the family and friends such hope. How he would confidently say these inspiring words of St. Alphonsus de Liguori, "The death of the just is a victory." And today I say of our Bishop Kelly, with the utmost confidence in the love and mercy of the Sacred Heart, that his death is a victory. There are many here this morning who personally knew or met Bishop Kelly. There are many others here this morning who never met him nor knew him. I would like then to say a few words about him and about what he did for us. Bishop Kelly was born on November 23rd in 1941 in Brooklyn. His mother and his father were both born in Ireland. When he was about 6 years old, they returned to Ireland for a short visit. But they ended up staying there for over a year or so. It was thus in Ireland that he made his first Holy Communion and attended grade school there as well. And though he was just a boy, he once told me that his stay in Ireland had a profound influence on his life and his faith. It was, in fact, the influence of Catholic Ireland and that of his dear mother, Clare Kelly, that kept the light of faith, he said, alive in him when he might otherwise have lost the faith. But upon the family's return to America, he attended St. Matthew's Grammar School in Brooklyn. After graduating in 1956, he attended a public high school. And at the end of his junior year, he left school with the permission of his mother. He joined the Air Force after he turned 17. And while in the Air Force, he went to school at night to receive his high school diploma. After 4 years in the service, he returned home and soon thereafter went into the furniture finishing business. It was about a year later that he finally decided to enter the seminary. He was accepted into a Franciscan seminary in Pennsylvania. He worked for UPS, loading trucks at night in New York City between the time of his acceptance and the date of his entry into the seminary, which was the fall of 1964. Now, this was 2 years after the opening of the Second Vatican Council. Bishop Kelly thus knew by personal experience what the situation in the church was like before, during, and after the changes of Vatican II, which have devastated the external institutions of the church, the faith, and the morals of Catholic people. He spent 3 years at the seminary in Pennsylvania. He was then sent to Catholic University in Washington, D.C. to study philosophy. He graduated magna cum laude in 1969 with his degree. He subsequently entered Immaculate Conception Seminary in Huntington on Long Island to study theology. And it was there that he told me he first experienced the evil fruit of Vatican II. For among a number of heresies and blasphemies that he was taught at this seminary, where Saint Joseph may have been the natural father of Christ, that Christ did not die on the cross for our sins, and certain grave immoralities in regard to purity and marriage. But despite these and other evils, His Excellency persevered in his priestly vocation. Now, this was at a time when so many vocations of the priesthood and religious life were being lost. Tens of thousands of priests were abandoning the priesthood. It was in the year 1970 that he met Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre in New York. And as he told me himself, it was like a breath of fresh air meeting the Archbishop. In fact, Bishop Kelly once told me about the circumstances of his first meeting with Archbishop Lefebvre. He had heard of the Archbishop. He had heard of a traditional seminary in Econ, Switzerland. He wrote to him, and the Archbishop agreed to come over to meet him and others. And thus, shortly after, Bishop Kelly and two other seminarians met Archbishop Lefebvre at Kennedy Airport. They picked him up there in Bishop Kelly's old Volkswagen that had a severely damaged muffler. You can only imagine the noise that it made as they slowly drove out of the airport and into New York City traffic. Bishop Kelly told me he was amazed that it did not in any way trouble the Archbishop. He said the Archbishop actually found it quite humorous. But Bishop Kelly completed his studies for the priesthood at Econ. He was ordained by the Archbishop on April 14, 1973. He soon after returned to Long Island, where he transformed his brother Pat's garage into a beautiful chapel. And Bishop Kelly began offering the true Mass there daily and on Sundays, until the number of people attending was so great that a larger facility had to be obtained. Mass was then offered at the VFW Hall in Hicksville. But in 1976, the present St. Pius V Chapel in Oyster Bay was purchased. It was blessed and dedicated in 1977. In 1974, Bishop Kelly established St. Pius V School. He was also personally responsible for opening a number of chapels in New York and Pennsylvania. After his expulsion and that of the other priests from the Society of St. Pius X, and the unfortunate and trying circumstances of that time, Bishop Kelly was instrumental in uniting the priests together into the Society of St. Pius V. To continue their work of offering Mass and providing true and valid sacraments for the faithful. And I have to tell you that Bishop Kelly, whenever he spoke of Archbishop Lefebvre, he always spoke of him with the utmost respect and gratitude. In fact, one day I told him we were going to hang a portrait of him, of Bishop Kelly, at the seminary. And he told me that he would only agree to that if portraits of Archbishop Lefebvre and Bishop Alfred Mendez were also to be displayed. For as he said, without them, we would not be here. In 1984, Bishop Kelly founded the Congregation of the Daughters of Mary. He founded the Congregation of Sisters so that they would dedicate their lives to making daily reparation to the Sacred Heart and to assisting the priests in the apostolate. Now, some of you, I am sure, remember that there was a time when there was no bishop to ordain priests for the future. But when things looked very bleak in this regard, our Lord provided for us. On October 19th, 1993, Bishop Alfred Mendez, a retired Roman Catholic bishop, consecrated Bishop Kelly to the episcopacy in his private chapel in San Diego. All of the priests of the Society of St. Pius V assisted at his consecration. Bishop Mendez loved the church and the faith. After ordaining Father Baumberger and Father Greenwell on September 3rd, 1990, Bishop Mendez prayed and thought very much about consecrating a bishop. He considered the matter over and over. He even sought the advice of priest friends. And at length, seeing the destruction of faith and morals going on around him, Bishop Mendez decided he would consecrate a bishop, and it would be Father Kelly. And what a shepherd Bishop Kelly has been for us. In 1996, he opened Immaculate Heart Seminary. He founded the Congregation of St. Pius V to provide priests and brothers for the future. The guiding principle in Bishop Kelly's life has always been this: everything we do must be done from the point of view of eternity. Everything we do must be done from the point of view of eternity. In other words, when it came to his personal life with his family, his brother, his sister, all his nieces and nephews and their families, whom he loved very much, and whom he was always ready to assist in any way, or when it came to doing his priestly and episcopal duties, Bishop Kelly did everything for the love of Christ and for the salvation of souls. And thus he was uncompromising when it came to faith and morals, when it came to right and wrong. He was uncompromising. And yet he was truly a compassionate and most caring man who was understanding of the sorrows and the sufferings of people. I remember when I was in my third year at the seminary, I went into the town of Caro to the local barber shop. And I met a man there who expressed a great interest in coming back to the faith and receiving the sacraments again. He had been away for over 40 years. Bishop Kelly agreed to meet with him. The man was living in a second marriage, and it was invalid, since his first marriage was clearly valid in the eyes of God and the church. Bishop Kelly counseled the man with kindness, but he was firm on what he needed to do to make things right. Sadly, the man would not hear of it, though he clearly understood. He never came to the convent chapel for Sunday Mass, And it was about 6 to 9 months later, I happened to see him again in the barber shop. And he told me what had happened. He told me everything Bishop Kelly had said to him. And he told me that after he saw Bishop Kelly, he went to the local so-called Catholic parish. And there he met with the pastor. He told him his situation. And he told him what Bishop Kelly had told him. The pastor told the man that while Bishop Kelly was correct, still it would be okay for him to continue living as he had been. And just start coming there. And you are welcome to receive the sacraments here. The man could not believe what he had just heard. He was told that he could continue sinning and at the same time receiving sacraments. He knew that this was wrong, and thus he never ended up going there either. But he finished by telling me that he had the utmost respect for Bishop Kelly, because he knew in his heart that the bishop was truly a man of God, a man of principle, who truly cared for souls. I know of so many people whom Bishop Kelly helped in one way or another. How many are the marriages that he saved? How many are the people whose faith he restored or strengthened? And how many are those whom he comforted in their trials and sorrows? You know, my dear friends, Bishop Kelly himself suffered many trials and tribulations during his life. Some of these so crushing. He had numerous bodily conditions and sicknesses as well, from which he suffered over the last 30 years. So many surgeries and procedures, so many visits to hospitals and doctors. And yet he strived to bear it all with such a humility and patience, seeing God's will in everything and striving to offer his sufferings to Christ crucified. He actually once told me that his active apostolate, his public ministry, as it were, had come to an end. But now he would have the apostolate of suffering and offering his sufferings for the church and for all our people. How often when I would visit him in the last few months of his life, he would speak of the goodness, he would speak of the love and the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or of just how much our Lord loves us and how much our Lord suffered to save us. No, he was so sick and often in such pain in these last few months. He was always thoughtful of others. He was thankful for the slightest kindness that was done to him. How much he appreciated the care of the sisters and the priests. And how grateful, my dear people, he was for all the prayers that were being said for him by the clergy, religious, and all our faithful. When I would go to see him, He always had a smile on his face. And he would always ask me, "How are you doing?" And then he would always ask me after that, "Do you want some coffee?" You know how much he loved his coffee. This past Saturday, though near to death as he was, he graciously received all the sisters, seminarians, and brothers, and the few priests who were still in Round Top. The last words, which I understand he slowly repeated throughout the day, were these: "Praise be Jesus and Mary." He said those words throughout the entire day. Praise be Jesus and Mary. How appropriate and how fitting that he whose life was all about serving Jesus through Mary, that these should be his final words. My dear friends, as a priest of 50 years and a bishop of 30 years, His Excellency Bishop Clarence Kelly, in the words of St. Paul, truly fought a good fight, truly finished his course, and truly kept the faith. In your charity and your gratitude, pray for our good Bishop Kelly. Do not forget him. Do not forget the sacrifices that he made for you and your families. Remember him in your daily rosary. I now say to Bishop Kelly the words from the liturgy of the church, which he so often said himself to those whom he buried. Words which he once told me were among the most consoling in the rite of Catholic burial. May the angels lead thee into paradise. May the martyrs receive thee at thy coming and take thee to Jerusalem, the holy city. May the choirs of the angels receive thee, and mayest thou with the once poor Lazarus have rest everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.